we as a nation would just understood what that song really means, even the church, we would know we'd be a different people. It's always good to be in God's house. There's Palm Sunday, the entry of Christ coming into Jerusalem. It is one of these holidays, the setting up of what we call Easter, the death and burial and resurrection of Christ himself. So this is always a good season, and one of our goals was today to see if we can, you know, break 100. I don't know where we are today, but I know that last week we did that already. We did that prior, so we haven't done that since 2012. So last week, we had a mission team. We had 115 people last week, but we had 14 of them, so we actually did 101 ourselves. So we give God praise for that. So very excited about that, and just seeing that sometimes I think what I keep getting from the Lord in my prayer time is we're limiting Him by not expecting bigger things from Him. So I'm excited. I'll share some of that stuff later on down the road. But if you do have your Bibles, we're going to be in the book of Luke chapter 19, the triumphal entry, what we call that as well. And we had a good group, I guess, representative that left of that was part of our church that went down to the women's Transform. So if you went to Transform, stand up for a minute. You ladies went to Transform. So it was something that was publicized into our bulletin. So real quick, anybody want to say something? You ladies want to say something real quick? Was it good? All right. So you ladies that didn't get to go, maybe on this next one next year that you will. So it was good. I heard good stuff. So amen. And y'all represented well. Good. All right. Good. Good deal. All right. And while you guys were there, I think a couple of our men went over to Pastor Phil Jones's house and threw out some stone. I wonder who were those guys there? I didn't go, but who were they? Why don't you guys stand real quick? Is any of you guys here? Because I don't know all of you that went. Covey's 10. Okay. There we go. Yep. Now look at them. Yep. That's what we call cast your burdens on one another. Share what you need with one another. And we see that these guys rose up to the occasion. So it's great. I think our church was busy over the weekend. Amen. I think that's what puts a smile on God, when we have a desire to learn, but also a desire to serve one another. Amen. But if you have your Bibles, we're going to be in Luke chapter 19. Luke chapter 19. And we're going to talk about this triumphal entry, the whole purpose of it. Some of these things in here we see that we just feel sometimes like, why is that in there? But we're going to go ahead and look from 19. We're going to start in verses 28. All right, when he had said these things, he went on ahead and going to Jerusalem. As he approached Bethany, at the place called the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples and said, "Go into the village ahead of you. As you enter it, you will find a young donkey tied there, on which no one has ever sat. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, 'Why are you untying it?' say this, 'The Lord needs it.' So those who were sent left and found it just as he had told them. As they were untying the young donkey, its owners said to them, 'Why are you untying the donkey?' 'And the Lord needs it,' they said. Then they brought it to Jesus, and after throwing their robes on the donkey, they helped Jesus get on it." People would say, okay, yep, that's just part of the story. Let me tell you, it's a lot more than what you're thinking. There's a lot more going on here than what you're thinking. Oh, Jesus is going to get up on this little young donkey. He's going to ride into it, and why isn't he riding in on a Cadillac, which would be like a white stallion or a big camel, and coming on in higher than everybody else? God has a way. Some people don't believe in the Word of God. You know that? God has used God's Word in a specific way. It has 66 what we call books. It wasn't written at one time, being from front to end. Genesis wasn't written at the same time Revelations was written. There are 66 books in there. There are things that are written many years ago that came to be. In the book of Zechariah, chapter 9, a prophetic piece, in the middle of all this stuff that Zechariah is writing, God gives him a piece that he didn't probably understand himself. But here's what it is. Zechariah chapter 9, verse 9 says, "Rejoice greatly, daughter of Zion. Shout in triumph, daughter of Jerusalem. Look, your king is coming to you." But it doesn't stop there, because Jesus, the Lord, wants to get into some details. What does it say? "He is righteous and victorious, humble, riding on a donkey." Didn't finish here either. "On a colt, the foal of a donkey, riding on a young donkey." 500 years later, that scripture comes true. That is the word of God. God's word is about prophetic pieces coming to be. 500 years before, this was said that this was going to happen. That the Son of God would ride, the King would ride in to Jerusalem on a young donkey, humbly. Not on a white stallion, not on a black, beautiful stallion, Arabian stallion, not on a camel, but not even on a donkey, but on a young, very low. I bet you that donkey was kind of tired because it didn't have the muscles of an adult donkey. But for God's word's sake, because God cannot lie, that is what had to happen. So if you want to challenge it, God's word is not real. We have one book written 500 years ago that Jesus is who he says he is. And he would ride in to Jerusalem on a young donkey. That's why this part is put in here. Not just for story or context, but to fulfill prophecy. And now you know. Amen? But it doesn't stop there. So he rides in, and the people are all gathered. Now, you've got to remember, he's got people in front of him and people behind him. He's got the disciples. He's got people that he's healed, people that are wanting to see him, wanting to be around him, people that he has done ate dinner with. He's got a crowd in front of him and behind him, and he's riding on this donkey. Now, if you were far away, you probably couldn't even tell that he was even really higher than anyone else, because he's just riding a little bit higher because he's on that young donkey. When people come in today, high national figures, they ride limos, they put flags on the front, whatever country that they're representing. I did a security detail in West Point once. I seen our President Bush. I call him Daddy Bush, the older Bush. And there I seen him on a car. We were doing the security detail. I saw these Arabian guys. I saw these guys from the Middle East. They had all their country flags on there. And I seen nothing but limos after another. Everybody was representing. Jesus did it humbly. People like to... Stars like to put their name out and let them know that the entourage, "I'm coming. Everybody, I'm coming. I am somebody. Look at me. I am somebody." Roll out the red carpet. Well, Jesus comes in humbly. Didn't need to be on the black stallion or the great camel or riding in a carriage higher than everybody else. No, he comes in humbly. And he gets on it. And verse 36 says, "As he was going along, they were spreading their robes on the road. Now he came near the path from the Mount of Olives, and the whole crowd of the disciples began to praise God joyfully with a loud voice for all the miracles they had seen. 'The King who comes in the name of the Lord is the blessed one. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest heaven.' Some of the Pharisees from the crowd told him, 'Teacher, rebuke your disciples.' And Jesus answered, 'I tell you, if they were to keep silent, the stones would cry out, because it was the Son of God.'" They didn't understand. They didn't see it. They believed he was a prophet. Here's the one that does miracles. So they threw out these palm branches and they put out robes, and as they began to walk across those, that was supposedly maybe his red carpet moment. But even in the crowd, they were saying, calm your people. Tell your people to stop. And Jesus says, no. No. Not going to do that. Not going to do that. You see, the people truly believed that Jesus was coming to set up the throne, the old David throne. That he was going to be a king and be an earthly king. And the Jews were going to rise up to their great power as they once had with King David. And they were going to once rule and have all the things and all the blessings they had in the past and all of those things. But I want to remind you of this, that Jesus didn't come to defeat Rome, but to defeat sin and death. He didn't come to defeat Rome. For defeating Rome would accomplish nothing. Sometimes what you're looking for God to defeat will accomplish nothing. But what Jesus knows that needs to be defeated, that's what is important. He came to conquer and defeat sin and death. Not Rome. Some of you look at the political world and say, we need to defeat this side or we need to defeat this side. It's not it. It's sin. It's sin. And I truly believe our nation wouldn't be in as much trouble as it is if we would focus on Jesus. The church, I'm talking, the church. But even in the church today, we have great division. But people today are still wanting Jesus to be the Jesus that they want. That's what these people were wanting. They wanted Jesus. They saw the miracles. That's why they believed. They saw the miracles. They kept calling, this is the prophet. They were still calling out to God, but they were calling Jesus a prophet. He was more than he was more than that person who prophesies. He was higher than a prophet. He's the Son of God. But they wanted the throne, the old throne, back up. Like the times of David. And that's what we're looking for, some of us, that America would get back to where it was. Really, was it really that great? Think about it. Was really David's time that great? We'll get to that. David was a great leader. Don't get me wrong. I love the stories of David. I love what David represents. But remember this, David was always fighting. He was always at war. Always at war. You know that Jerusalem means peace. But Jerusalem is always at war. Because they would never come to the realization except Jesus as the Son of God. They're always at war. You know that when someone comes, that when someone doesn't come to Christ, they're always at war with the world and themselves. There's no peace. Jerusalem means peace. But I love my brothers and sisters. We're supposed to pray for the nation, and I do. But they're always in conflict. Have not come to the place of accepting Jesus as the Son of God, and they were the people that God chose from way back when. And they still yet rebel against him even today. But Jerusalem means city of peace. Conflict over conflict over conflict over conflict over conflict. Doesn't mean God stopped loving them, but they're always in conflict. Always in conflict. Jesus knew what he was getting ready to go into. He knew that this death was coming upon him. Let's read a little further. As he approached and saw the city, he wept over it. If you knew this day what would bring peace, but now it is hidden from your eyes. Don't you think that some things that God's, don't you think that there are some words that are in God's word that is in place still today as when it was spoken for the first time? what would bring peace, but now it is hidden from your eyes. For the days will come on you when your enemies will build an embankment against you and surround you and hem you in on every side. They will crush you and your children within you to the ground. And they will leave, and they will not leave one stone on another in you, because you did not recognize the time of your visitation. 70 years later, Rome, King Nero, would come in with Rome and destroy Jerusalem. Once again, Jesus made a prophetic peace. 70 years later, Jerusalem is destroyed. Today there is one part, there's a wall that is still left. They call it the Weeping Wall. The people will go, the Jews will go up to it and pray to God. Still without receiving and acknowledging Jesus Christ as the Son of God. Believe me, I'm not speaking against the Jews at all. I love people. I love the Jewish people. But today, they're still going up to the same wall, the wall, calling out to God, but not Jesus Christ. But what did Jesus say? He wept over it. And he says, if you knew this day what would bring peace. Acknowledging that it wasn't a throne that they wanted him on there, but receiving him as he was and who he is. And they missed it. And because of that, 70 years later, Jerusalem is destroyed. But why? Why? Why was Jerusalem destroyed? Because you did not recognize the time of your visitation. All those prophetic pieces these Sadducees and Pharisees should have known about, they were too busy worried about keeping their religious ways, keeping themselves higher than the people, keeping them on a heavy foot. They was too concerned about their organization. And they didn't see and they didn't recognize the time of their visitation. But thank God that Jesus still continued to go forward, didn't he? Why did Jesus even, he's coming in, humbles himself on that donkey. He's rolling through. He knows what's ahead of him. Pain and suffering and death. He knew the people missed it. That they didn't recognize his visitation. Why did he really even finish this up? He could have just said, these people don't get it. I'm done with them. All they do is rebel. It's been many times they wanted to take him to a cliff and throw him off. They wanted to stone him. They wanted to find ways to arrest him, get rid of him. But I'm also reminded that love conquers all things. That Jesus came because there were people that he did meet from the time that we read about him being baptized to the time of this triumphal entry, that he met a man that was demon-possessed in the church house, that he cast out the demon, that he met a woman at a well that was broken, that was living totally in sin, that he remembered that woman, that he remembered the adulterous woman who was caught in sin, pulled out in so embarrassment and just so defiled right in front of everyone. All her stuff was thrown out, and he remembers that woman. But he also remembered Lazarus. He remembered Mary, and he remembered Martha. He remembered Mary, the one that had seven demons in her. He remembered the blind man. He remembered the blind men. He remembered the 10 lepers. He remembered all the people at the Sermon on the Mount. He remembered all those people. And it continued, God loves people. And Jesus remembers, so he continues to go through hearing people. Shut your disciples down. What are you doing? The people, the mass of people were saying things, but they didn't even understand really what they were saying, but they were saying good things. There were some in the crowd that weren't praising God. The king comes in the name of the Lord. They got that, but they didn't understand. They thought it was all going to be right there. They were too busy worrying about bringing up the fleshly things, and not the spiritual thing. But he says, you did not recognize the time of your visitation. Can I tell you right now that he's still visiting people like you? And some of us don't recognize it because we have an attitude, even Christians have an attitude toward Christ or an attitude toward someone else. And you miss the visitation that Christ has for you. A life-changing thing maybe you've been praying for years and you miss it because you don't recognize it because your attitude and your purposes are in the wrong place. You want Jesus to be the Jesus that you want. He wants you to be the person he wants. There is a battle going on. And if you fight the battle, you just keep pushing him back. You keep pushing him back and you're going to miss what God has in store for you. Because you missed the time and you did not recognize his visitation. I believe that Jesus is still rolling up on people in people's lives. Coming from a distance, how are you going to receive him? He's going to come in and you're going to be able to say, is he the Son of God? Or you got questions or what? He's going to come up and he's going to have conversation with you in ways that he's going to let you know that it's him. And you're either going to accept what he has. Listen, your way, some of us need to change some ways. I'm not talking about just, I'm just talking about, we just need to change some ways of thinking. There are some things we need to change in our life. Because what you've been trying to change in your life, if you could have done it, you would have done it already. If your way worked, it would have happened already. You can rebox it, reshape it, but it's still the same old thing. And it belongs to you. Jesus comes in and says, I can take care of that. But you've got to hand it over. Jesus can come, and he comes, and he visits, and people don't have to live in addiction. I disagree, and people may disagree with me, and that's okay. I don't believe addiction is a disease. That's what the world says. And even people in medical may say the same, but I believe it is a sin. It is a thing that the devil uses to entrap and put people into bondage. We're putting labels on everything so it makes us feel good. We just need to call. Some of these things are just flat out sin. And we've separated ourselves from living the way God wants us to live. And when we separate ourselves and move away from God, we move into areas of sin and strong temptation where eventually we're going to sink. And it's going to put us in bondage regardless of whatever it is. But the world will tell you to accept all these things because it goes against the things of God. There's a battle in the world. The division shouldn't be amongst our brothers and sisters. It shouldn't be amongst the churches. It should be amongst the good and bad. This is what I'm supposed to do. This is what I'm not supposed to do. I'm supposed to love. I'm not supposed to hate. I'm supposed to do the right things. I'm not supposed to do the wrong things. I need to step in and trust the Lord and live righteous, not live unrighteously. I need to confess my sins, not hoard my sins and hide my sins. America's in bondage to money, to addictions. This country takes more medicine, prescription medicine, than any other country in the world. Children are all on anxiety pills and everything. I'm not saying some don't need it. But we're going to the world to fix a spiritual problem. And the world will never know how to fix a spiritual problem. Can fix a broken arm, they do it. The world does it amazing. God's given man, humanity, the understanding on how to fix and how to do open heart surgery and brain surgery and all of those are great things. But the way the world says to forgive and the way the world and the way that Jesus says to forgive are two different ways. And it's completely two different things. The world says, get your life now, live it to the best, because this is all you got. Jesus says, give up your life so that you may have life. and you may have it more abundantly, that you may have it everlasting. The world says, save up everything, get it all you got, become a millionaire, work on it, get all that. Jesus says, give it away. Store up treasures in heaven that where no moth and no rust taint those things. But they're everlasting gifts. There's a difference. And Jesus comes, and here he asks, he says the same thing. You did not recognize the time of your visitation. The King of Kings was coming to the house of Jerusalem, and they did not recognize that he is the Son of God. And we need to recognize when Jesus comes to our house, he knows exactly where you live. He knows exactly what you've been through. Jesus knows that you have had, some of you have had bad things happen to you in your life. Jesus didn't come to take your memory away. That's part of your life. He's not going to undo something that happened in your life, even though it could have been, was a bad thing. But what Jesus does is, he comes in, knows the problem, knows it better than anyone. Because he's been working with people since Adam and Eve. He knows everyone. There's not a problem you're going to bring that he's never heard of or never dealt with. So you're not the first. But it still doesn't take the pain of what's happened to you in your past, whether you were a child, you're a teen, or even as an adult. But what he does do is he comes in and makes a visitation, and he allows his arms to be open, and he says this, I'm going to give you an opportunity to come to me. I'm going to heal you of your broken heart. I'm going to heal you of what you've been through. You're not going to forget, but I'm going to heal you. And don't be surprised that I don't use you in the future to help other people who have been through that same thing that you've been through. Because it's not that he just loves you and what you're all about, but he also loves other people and what they're going through too. I believe the Holy Spirit still is visiting people. My greatest fear for anybody is to look at them and they become 55, that's my age, 60, 65, 70, and still fighting the same spiritual battle that they were 20, 30, 40 years ago. Still thinking they got the plan to change it. You see, what was really coming into this town was hope for the very first time for mankind. Hope. Not to die in your sins. Hope that you can actually feel and understand what love truly is. That you can have a love that is everlasting. That there be a gift that gives and promises you something that you don't deserve. But something that God gives to us through his grace and mercy and love. That you can be a part of a family. That there is no father like him. And he offers that through a visitation. And he's offering that still today to people. You have to let God be God. If you're going through something and you've not, and it's been a year or 2 years and you're not through it yet, you need to let it go. Give it to God and say, Lord, I don't know how, I can't carry it no more. Here it is. And I want to tell you, Jesus will take it. But if you keep holding on to it, and you keep holding on to it, it's still yours until you let it go. That means don't forget the memories. If you lost someone, you keep the memory. But you're never going to have peace until you let it go. You're never going to get through addictions until you admit that you can't do it alone, that you need Jesus. And you need to ask for forgiveness from it. You see, the world says you don't need to ask for forgiveness from it. You got a disease. No. When you are in addiction, you have an alcohol, or you're cutting yourself, or you're into drugs or those things, I'm telling you something. It is a sin. You need to ask God as Christ to forgive you of those sins. Allow the healing process to work the way God wants it to work, not the way the world wants it to work. That it is a sin. Adultery is a sin. When you go and you ask for forgiveness for that, you need to also talk to God. I'll talk to Christ about it. The world says you just talk to people. No, we talk to Christ. Christ came in, made a visitation. I received that visitation at the age of 12. But he also visits me also with his Holy Spirit every day. Trying to live out the life that I'm supposed to live. He convicts my heart when I do wrong. Blesses me when I do right. But also, sometimes I just have to go through bad times, hard times. It doesn't mean it's not, he's just a lot, it doesn't mean he just makes that happen. Sometimes it's part of life. The rain and the sun falls on the just and the unjust. Death comes to all because we are all sinners. I ask you a question. Do you recognize the time of Christ's visitation to you? Whether it be salvation, repentance, accepting something that you know you're supposed to accept, but you're not accepting it because you don't want to accept it. And let me tell you, you can't fight God and win. Jesus knows exactly what to say because he knows exactly who we are. Let me close with this. Why did Jesus come to Jerusalem? He came to defeat sin, which every one of you have, and I have. He also came to defeat death, which every one of us will face. You may think you're 23, 25, 33, and you got a lot of life to live. Let me tell you. Car accidents happen every day and people die every day. It has nothing to do with age. People fall dead here and there, and sometimes it has nothing to do with age. Sometimes you're at the gas station and you don't know what's going to happen at the gas station. You're at a party. Somebody put something in something. You don't know what it was. And now we're finding fentanyl in parties and people are just falling over for the first time, dying. You don't know. You don't know when you're in. It's coming. All of us will face death at some time or another. And the scripture says, and there's no promise of tomorrow. So how are you going to deal with Christ's visitation? Can I tell you, there's no bargaining with God. With the price that Jesus Christ paid, there's no bargaining. He gave his life so that we might have life. We come to Christ that we might have that life. But then as we accept that life, he says, give your life, and I'll give you eternal life. The triumphal entry is truly triumphal. Amen. He didn't come to defeat Rome. He came to defeat sin and death, which we are all part of. And he did it. And his offer to you is, you come and you seek me and I will give you eternal life. Believe in me and I will give you eternal life. Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden. And Jesus says, I will give you rest. Let's stand. I want to have a time of whatever you want to do. Do you want to come down and pray?